Welcome back. These are the same announcements as last class, but just to remind you, I will be out of town all of next week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So I won't be here lecturing. We'll show recorded lectures during the class time, but you're welcome to just watch those on your own time since I won't be here. And there will also be no in-person office hours. I'll try to remain available via email. And there is still a homework next week due at the normal time. So single problem on state plan analysis. Questions, concerns on that? Okay. So last time we finished up talking about this DCM buck converter, where we were really focusing on what happens during this subinterval 3, which is the one where both switches were off and we have a resonant circuit. We look at different cases. This M is equal to 1/2, or the output voltage is 1/2 of the input voltage, with a special case where we'd have resonance. It carries us from 0 to VG and back, depending on how long this interval is. If we have M is less than 1/2, smaller output voltage, we would resonate with the peak below the input, giving us no possibility of switching with CVF. We had M greater than 1/2, we would resonate around a DC operating point greater than 1/2, or M, give us a larger radius that would allow us to get up here and bring the switch node voltage all the way up to the input. Ideally, we could turn on the FET right there with a nice zero voltage turn on. But whether or not we're allowed to turn on right there depends on the rest of the control. Okay, am I constant switching frequency, variable duty cycle to regulate? If so, I may not be able to turn on. This T3 may be defined by my switching period. Could be shorter or longer than the time it took me to resonate to here. If we just let this interval run, we would turn on the high side body diode, then dump energy out of the circuit, and then begin a second resonance up here, still centered around the same DC operating point, but with a different initial condition and contained within those two body diode clamping voltages. Okay. So this led to, well, here we can maybe obtain some nice zero voltage switching, depends on the timing. If our output voltage is low, we have no hope. There's no way we can obtain ZVS because we never resonate up to this point. So can we do better? One way to improve this is to go to a synchronous buck converter, where we now have control over the low side switch. And we discussed briefly, kind of motivated last time, that would allow us to, in this interval where the inductor current is ramping down, allow it to go past zero, go negative by some amount, extend our radius for the start of this resonance, and perhaps obtain ZVS regardless of the output voltage. Okay, so we're going to go through that today. The first thing I'm going to do is look at this interval and how allowing that negative current affects behavior compared to what we looked at in the DCM case. And then we're going to sketch the state plane for the full period. We'll look at both this resonant interval and this one, as well as the non-resonant intervals, and solve converter operations to a complete solution for this one. Okay. So to do that, look at what is the equivalent resonant circuit that we're going to look at during these dead times. It's really unchanged from the DCM case. Since during these resonant intervals, both switches are off, both diodes are off. Doesn't matter if this is a MOSFET instead of a diode, it's still going to look like an equivalent resonant circuit of C switch, L, D. And again, you could sketch different ones. I'm going to stick with this one because I like keeping the switch node voltage in there. This is my circuit during dead times. This is what I'll use for my state plan analysis. My CEQ, or my C switch here. Again, the combination, parallel combination of any capacitances connected to this node and a DC node. So I'd have drain to source capacitance on my high side MOSFET, my low side MOSFET, any parasitic capacitance across the inductance, any parasitic capacitance from my layout between this node and ground nodes or DC nodes or anything else. Could be CDS1 in parallel with CDS2, parallel with CL, parallel with anything else connected between this node and a DC node. Okay. So going from a DCM buck converter to the synchronous buck converter, I maybe change some values of some of these capacitances, but for my general circuit analysis, it's going to be the same thing, right? So the only difference from what we sketched before is that during this interval, which is the magnifying glass. How do you undo that? Let's just recalibrate here. I apologize. Hey. In. Sorry about that. So we're going to first look at this interval here. So what we called subinterval 3 in the DCM buck operation that we looked at previously. So this is again going to be interval where we are trying to resonate the switch node voltage from 0 up to VG. We're going to start now with some negative current that I'm going to call minus J, or in this case still I, minus I3, just because we're over at the end of the third interval. Okay. And I'm going to call it negative because it's down here. That way I3 itself is a positive value. It's telling me how much negative current I'm allowing. So the difference between this synchronous buck converter and the DCM buck in terms of this interval is that I3 would be 0 in the DCM buck. Okay. So I shut off the low side switch when the current hits 0. The diode, as soon as that current hits 0, it inherently turns off. With the MOSFET, I can allow it to go a little bit negative before I turn off the MOSFET using gate control. Now actively control that. Okay. So whereas before our state plane was going to begin right here at 0, 0, still going to have 0 voltage, but I can have some negative current. So as I go to sketch the state plane during this interval, my JL M switch state plane, I can ramp down to some minus J3, which would just be my I3 divided by I base. Okay. And this is going to be my new initial condition. Okay. My center is going to stay the same because it's the same equivalent circuit. It's going to be at a value M if I select the base is equal to VG. And then I'm required to have I base is V base over R naught. That center is the same, the DC operating point. If I go back and look at the circuit, there's going to be 0 current because it's a series with cap and V voltage on the capacitor. If I divide V by VG to normalize it, I get M. Okay. So this will be my radius of resonance. I'm again going to move in the same direction, this counterclockwise direction, and I'm trying to resonate up here to 1 on the M switch axis. As I've drawn it here and give myself a guide, I would be able to resonate around. In this case, I've drawn M is about equal to 1/2. So adding this negative current really just gave me some headroom. I resonated from the DCM case, be able to resonate around to 1. Adding negative current, I get there with some current left over. But since this J3 is something I can change around by changing my switching pattern, if I had, for example, a smaller M sub small, and I want to be able to get ZVS with this output voltage, I can say, in order to do so, I need the radius to be this, so that during my resonance, I get the voltage all the way up to VG. Then I can kind of backtrack and say, all right, if I sketch this, it should look like a circle here. And I should start with this minus J3 to be able to get there. By modulating the amplitude of that negative current, I can allow myself to resonate all the way up and get zero voltage switching, regardless of what my DC operating point is. And my DC operating point is the conversion ratio, so regardless of what my output voltage is. Does that make sense? Okay, this argument already kind of, we did it, but let's look on the next slide at what the ZVS condition is for this interval. So this is still the, what I call it, T delta interval. The ZVS condition in this T delta interval is what? Well, in order to be able to achieve ZVS, I need J3 to be so negative that when I resonate around, I get to this point, M switch is equal to 1. So if my M is somewhere, I need the radius to be 1 minus M in order to make it. Say M, my DC operating point, plus the radius when I swing all the way around so that I'm at this point, M plus that radius has to be 1 or greater. Okay. That radius itself, I can write Pythagorean theorem as it's J3 squared plus M squared, and the square root of that. I'll say M plus radical J3 squared plus M squared is greater than or equal to 1. And that's my ZVS condition here. As long as that's true on my state plane, I have capability to obtain ZVS. Look at what this is telling me. I'm going to go ahead and denormalize this to see what this equation means in terms of my V's and I's. Okay. So if I just plug in what these variables are, M is my normalized output voltage, V divided by V base, V base is VG for our selection, plus radical M, again, is V over VG. And then J3 is going to be I3 over I base, where I base is VG over R0. And VG R0 squared. Needs to be greater than or equal to 1. And, okay, what can I do? So I'll subtract this V over VG over to the right side. And then I'm going to multiply through by VG. So we'll get greater than or equal to VG minus V is 1 minus V over VG, whole thing times VG. And on the left side, I'm going to get this radical. I'm going to multiply by VG. As I send that under the radical, I'm going to get VG squared times both of these terms, which would just cancel the denominators. Okay. So that'll give me I3 R0 squared plus V squared. That whole thing's under a radical, but I'll square both sides, end up with something that looks like this. Then I'm going to plug in for R0. Let's see this squared here. R0 is square root of L over C. C switch in this case. L and C in our resonant circuit. So if I plug that in, square it, I'll get I3 squared L over C. Then I'm going to get the C switch out of the denominator, so I'll multiply through everything by C switch. As I do so, I'll also move this term over to the right. I'm going to end up with is L I3 squared greater than or equal to C switch VG minus V squared minus C switch V squared. Does that look like anything to you? Help at all if I multiplied by a half on everything. I can do arbitrarily. This is telling me that the energy that I have available in the inductor at the start of this resonant interval needs to be greater than the energy in the caps between the DC solution and where I want to go. Okay. My DC solution is at V, I want to get to VG. The inductor has to supply the energy to get these caps from zero up to the output voltage or to the input voltage. Okay. The buck per. Okay. So that ZVS condition telling me, okay, I need to have enough energy in the inductor at the start of this interval such that the amplitude of this resonance will get me where I need to go. Any questions on that? All right. So, if not, we're going to dig in and we're going to do the complete sync buck state plane. We've got some different arcs here. So now I'm going to plot the state plane over one complete period, and I'm going to resketch my time domain waveforms here. Let's keep these time domain V switch and IL so that I can have kind of some correspondence between what I'm doing in the state plane with M switch and JL and what I'm doing in the time domain. Little dots and dashes over here on the plot are just for me to be able to sketch this without it being too ugly. So we drew these time domain waveforms at the end of last class. I'm just going to redraw switch node voltage and inductor current without really any modification. Switch node voltage was high, resonated low, stayed low, resonated back high. VG, zero. Then the inductor current ramps up, resonates, ramps down, resonates, goes back to zero. I'm just going to call the intervals here broadly 1, 2, 3, and 4. And this over here is back to 1 again. And we previously labeled times, called this T beta and this T delta. This T3, and then the first one was T1. Out of there. Hey, that I'm using a specific naming scheme that's not by any means a formal convention for state plane analysis, but just something I do to keep track of what intervals are. If I have intervals 1, 2, 3, and 4, say T1, T2, T3, T4, for resonant intervals, I'll call them T sub Greek letter. Okay. So any of the Greek letters are going to be resonant intervals. T1 and T3 are my non-resonant intervals. Then as I normalize them, this time is going to become an angle beta. T beta will become, in my state plane, an angle beta. T delta will become an angle delta. These, T1 and T3, are not going to be angles on my state plane. I will end up normalizing them. I'll call them theta 1 and theta 3, but they're not going to be visually represented on my state plane in any way. Okay? Like I said, that's not formal. It's just how I do it to keep track of which interval I'm talking about. Okay. So with that, we've already sketched this interval 4, what we just did on the last slide, so I'll start there. Okay, that's the one that starts down here. We said it started at something called minus J3, this current. And with the radius, this resonates around till it gets to the switch node voltage reaches the input, at which point we can turn on the high side device with zero voltage. As I continue to sketch this, I'm going to have two different resonant intervals. So to keep my radii straight, I'll call this R3, the radius in subinterval 3. Oops, I'm in subinterval 4, so I should call it R4. And this arc moves this direction, happens in, this is the segment of my state plane that corresponds to what's happening in subinterval 4. Okay. So to fully define this, I'm going to label this current here. I'm going to call this minus J4, which means that this in the time domain is minus I4. I wrote this incorrectly. It should have been I3 over here in the time domain, not J3. And I have I's over here, which are going to be normalized when I divide by I base into J's over here. Okay. And then, but now let's continue on. What happens after that? Let's say I resonate, I turn on the high side device here with zero voltage. I go into this linear interval, subinterval one, where the voltage stays locked at VG and the current ramps up. Okay. On the state plane, that's going to be like what we looked at earlier when the high side body diode conducts. It's just going to be a straight line moving in an upward direction until I reach a value, call it J1, that corresponds to I1 here. At some point dictated by my control, subinterval one ends, and I go into another resonant interval, subinterval two, which is, again, the same resonant circuit, just C switch, inductance, and output voltage. The only difference is the initial conditions. So now my initial operating point is here, but my center is the same. DC solution of that's the same. It's the same exact circuit, only the initial conditions have changed. So I'll go into a resonant interval where I have a radius here, R2, and I will resonate around that center until the voltage reaches zero, at which point I can turn on my low side device with zero voltage, or the body diode will turn on even if I don't. Right. So hit that point, that's here, call that I2, this value will be J2. Resonated this direction. And this is my same radius, R2. That was subinterval. Let's do them in blue to match. So this was 4. This is 1. This is 2. Over here we'll have 3. Subinterval 3, again, a non-resonant interval. My voltage stays locked at 0. V switch is 0. M switch is 0. And then my current ramps down from I2 to minus I3, normalized J2 to minus J3. It's going to look like just a line here. Okay. Subinterval 4, we know that this angle tells us this angle times omega naught is the total time of this interval. I'm going to call that angle, promised, since it's resonant, maybe delta. Subinterval 2, I'm going to call this beta. Again, this point is M on the M switch axis. This is my center for both resonant intervals. Okay, and that's our complete state plane. That's one full period of operation. These linear intervals aren't going to contribute much by sketching them on here. Really, we can't learn anything from the size of this or any of these angles related to linear intervals, but I want to sketch both of my resonant intervals, connect them up to show the complete closed trajectory that this converter travels through. Okay. Unsurprisingly, in steady state, if I plot the state plane of a resonance between an L and C, it's going to form a closed loop. It moves around. Voltage on the capacitor, current in the inductor change, but they come back to where they started because I'm in steady state. Okay. So what can we do? Now we've got two different resonant intervals. As I've drawn it, I achieve ZVS in both of them. I resonate here, get the voltage all the way down to zero. Resonate interval four, get it all the way up to VG. We looked at interval four previously. So in interval four, my ZVS condition was what? J3 squared plus M squared radical plus M greater than or equal to 1. So to say R4 plus M greater than or equal to 1. In subinterval 2 now, I'll have another ZVS condition moving this direction. So what I need is R2, the radius I start the interval with, to be greater than M. And R2 I can write as J2 squared plus M squared, square root, greater than or equal to M. So as I resonate around this point, and the radius is, my operating point is directly to the left of my center, radius needs to be long enough such that I either achieve ZVS right then or have already achieved it, already turned the diode on before I resonate to that point. As long as both of those two things are true, I can operate with full ZVS, both switching intervals. Okay. So I won't have the COSS type losses. My turn on transitions happens at I2 and I4. I'm going to be nearly zero loss because I'm turning on the device the time when the body diode either is conducting or would start conducting. Got zero voltage on it. I just turn on the channel. My turn off transitions, I3 and I1, I may still have some residual losses. It comes down to the turn off overlap losses. It depends on IL over CDS versus IG over CGD. How quickly do I turn it off relative to how fast the voltage rises? But if I can outspeed those, then I can have nearly zero switching loss on those as well. Okay. Pretty nice. One penalty is conduction loss. My average current is somewhere here. In order to guarantee ZVS, depending on the operating point, I may have had to increase I3, put more negative current into the system. That means to get the same average value, I have to go up even higher, have a higher peak current, so that as I average over a period, I can get whatever I need for IL. Okay. If I spend a lot of time below zero, to get an average above zero, I need to have that canceled out by more stuff, higher current. So this would be higher RMS current than something that I allowed a hard switch, something like a DCM, depending on right at the boundary on that DCM, but definitely then a CCM type converter where I just hard switch it. Okay. So we've got the state plane. Looks kind of cool, but what can we do with it? So we're going to go through and solve it, and we're going to step through and look at, in order, each subinterval. And say what are the equations that we can write from that subinterval, or the equation definition of the structure. And then we're going to combine those together with some sort of averaging, some sort of what's the average output current. Could do others, but we'll look at that. And that'll give us a complete set of equations that define the operation of this converter in steady state. So let's look at that. Subinterval 1 and 3 are non-resonant intervals. The state plane isn't going to contribute any equations. We're going to get those equations just off the time domain plot. And then subintervals 2 and 4 are each going to give us two equations, one relating the radius at the beginning and the end, kind of Pythagorean theorem here, Pythagorean theorem here, and one defining what the angle is of that resonance. Okay. I'm just going to write those equations on the next two slides. starting with subinterval 1. Subinterval 1, the interval in which the current ramps from minus I4 up to I1. The voltage stays constant at VG. I'm not going to be able to write anything interesting having to do with that. But the current during 1 goes from minus I4 up to I1. Here's my inductive current. It does so with a slope of what? Well, let's go back to a circuit here. In the interval when the inductor current is ramping up, that means the high side device is on. The inductor current slope is VG minus V over L. Slope here of VG minus V over L. So the equation that I can write for this, VG minus V over L times this time, the duration of the interval is T1. The slope times time is the distance I went, which is going to be I1 plus I4. A slope VG minus V over L times time, T1. Equal to rise I1 minus minus I4, I1 plus I4. This is a non-resonant interval. So my equation comes from time domain. But in a moment, I'm going to write my normalized state plane equations for subintervals 2 and 4. And I'm going to want to combine all these things together. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to normalize this anyway into my J's and M's, even though it's not really a state plane type equation. And I'm going to do so without modifying anything. So use techniques like multiplying the left-hand side and the right-hand side by the same thing so I don't alter the equation. I'll multiply by 1 over I base on both sides of this. Do so, this term here, I'll bring the I base in. I'll get I1 over I base plus I4 over I base. Normalizes my J1, J4. Over on the left, I'm going to need to split this up. Say I base is V base over R0. We're still using VG as our V base. So that'll give me VG minus V over V base times R0 over L times T1. Okay. These two are my 1 over I base, and the rest of this is this term. So this first term looks like 1 minus M. And then I've got this R0 over L. What is that? Let's look at it off to the side here. R0 over L. Well, R0 is root L over C. And then I can push this L under the radical. I'd be dividing by L squared. It'll be L over C switch L squared. And this L will cancel with that squared. I'll end up with 1 over radical L C switch, which is omega naught. R0 over L is omega naught times T1, omega naught times T, and our normalization is an angle. That's something I'll call theta 1. Again, part of the reason I use the notation I do, theta 1 is not something present on the state plane. It's just normalized T1, but it's not going to be anything geometric on the state plane. Okay. But multiply a time by omega naught, it normalizes into an angle. This angle is just conceptual. Okay. That is J1 plus J4. And that's the equation that I can write about subinterval 1. Okay. Now let's get into a fun one. Subinterval 2, this one up here, my first resonant interval. So my equations are going to come from the state plane. And I'm going to get, like I said, two equations. One, I'm going to just relate R2 according to Pythagorean theorem here, where I have J1 squared plus 1 minus M squared is R2. And R2 is also equal to Pythagorean theorem here, J2 squared plus M squared. Okay. Second equation, I'm going to write what is beta. That one, again, I can write in many different ways. The way I'm going to do it is pi minus this angle here and this angle here. I'm going to subtract those off. These two angles are going to be arctangent of J1 over 1 minus M and arctangent of J2 over M. Okay, so let's do that. Looking at this state plane, this is resonant interval. We get equations from state plane. And we'll get a pair. First pair is going to come from me writing that R2 squared by the Pythagorean theorem over on the right is J2 squared plus 1 minus M squared, which is this triangle here. This R2 is the hypotenuse. The second one, oh, it's not, right? I did that wrong. J1 squared, excuse me. This one minus M squared. Second one on the left, and looking at Pythagorean theorem, that'll have my J2 squared, but only M squared as the horizontal leg of that right triangle. So M's and J1's are characteristics of my circuit. R2 is a characteristic of my state plane. So I'm just going to eliminate that right now and set these equations equal to one another and get J1 squared plus 1 minus M squared equal to J2 squared plus M squared. That's one of my equations. Then my second one is going to be, what is this angle beta? I promise that's going to be pi minus these two angles. I chose these two angles because they refer to the same two triangles I just used Pythagorean theorem on. So it's going to be J1 over 1 minus M, J2 over M for my two arctangents. So I can kind of look at this and say it's arctangent of J1 over 1 minus M minus the arctangent of J2 over M. There's my equation for beta. Making sense? Okay. Subintervals 3 and 4 are going to follow the same format. 3 is, again, another linear interval. This one here, my current decreases from I2 to minus I3. It's a buck converter, so it does so with the slope of minus V over L, right? The low side switch turns on. I have minus the output voltage applied to the inductor to ramp down. That equation, again, non-resonant, look like minus V over L times T3 is equal to difference between those that I go down. So it's going to be I2 plus I3 is how far I go, and I'm going in a negative direction, so it's going to be the negative of that. Minus I2 plus I3. And then I'm going to normalize that, again, dividing by I base on both sides. It's going to follow all the same steps, end up with minus J2 plus J3. Just dividing the I2 and I3 by I base. Over here on the left, to divide by I base, I'm going to have R0 over VG. VG is going to give me an M, R0 over L is going to give me an omega naught. This will become theta 3. I'll have M theta 3. And I want, since both sides are negative, just delete those negative signs. Subinterval 4 is going to look a lot like subinterval 2. I'm going to relate R4 here and R4 here. It's going to look like J3 squared plus M squared is equal to 1 minus M squared plus J4 squared. J3 squared plus M squared. Is that right? Yeah. Comes from my two radii, and then my angle delta is equal to pi minus, I'm going to have two arctangents, again, of the same triangles I used here. It's going to be minus J3 over M, arctangent of that, minus arctangent of J4 over 1 minus M. Okay, so that's what I can get out of all four of my individual subintervals. I can write two more equations for this thing. The first is going to be averaging, something that relates what's going on in all of these four intervals to what my load is doing, right? What do I need my average output to be? And the way I'm going to do that here is I'm going to average my output current. Average output current is over one switching period, the integral from 0 to TS of I out of T dt. In the buck converter, we've got a big DC filter cap and steady state voltage ripple on this small, so my average output current is equal to my average inductor current. Can't have any average current in the cap in steady state. One over TS is the integral from 0 TS IL dt. I can break this apart and say it's the integral from 0 to t1 of IL of t in t1 during my first linear interval plus the integral t1 to t1 plus t2 of IL of t dt and so on. So this will be my integral over subinterval 1, integral of the inductor current in that subinterval 2, 3, 4. Right? No problem. And those become a little bit easier to evaluate. So my I out is 1 over TS times, okay, the integral of the inductor current in subinterval 1. So that's here. We resketched it. That's the integral of basically a trapezoid. So I can say, okay, it's the average value times the time. If I have a linear slope during it, that's I1 minus I4 over 2 times T1, the integral of this thing. That's my integral over subinterval 1. I'm going to have to add the other subintervals. Do 3 real quick. 3 is going to be the same thing. 2 times T3. Again, another linear subinterval. The current ramps from I2 to minus I3. Excuse me, that should be minus. The integral is going to be the time times the average value of the current during it, which is linearly decreasing. Then 2 and 3 are more of a pain, potentially. Because these two intervals are my resonant intervals. I can take this integral in a time domain. What I need to figure out is what's the starting angle of this resonance, and that's going to be the initial phase of my sinusoid. The amplitude is R4, and I denormalize it. It goes sweeps through delta type of an angle or beta, depending on which one I'm in. I have to integrate the sinusoid between some angle and some second angle, got an initial phase. That's doable. But we can do this a little bit easier by looking at how did we model this. Okay, so in both cases, subinterval 2 and 4, we were looking at this equivalent circuit. So in both of them, the inductor current is always the capacitor current. And the integral of the inductor current is the total charge. How much charge? Well, in subinterval 4, it was the charge that it took to take this voltage from 0 to VG. In subinterval 2, it was the charge that it took to move this from VG to 0 volts. So, this integral is subinterval 2 minus QC. Subinterval 4, it's QC, where QC is C switch times VG. You need enough charge to get it from 0 to VG here, from VG down to 0 here, means whatever this is, it's going to cancel out. I've got the plus QC and a minus QC. So those go away, and there's net zero charge contribution from the two resonant intervals. What I'm left with is just whatever I get out of the linear intervals, which I can then normalize to get an equation in terms of J's. If I had the time, I would love to show you, but I'm out of time. So I'll figure out a way to pick up from here and then go into remote lectures for next week. And I won't be around. We'll have something available during class time if you guys want to do that. Okay, thanks, guys. Enjoy the week next week.